This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. State investigators have shut down an Alzheimer's care facility in Commerce, Georgia, charging 21 current or former staffers with some 70 counts of abusing patients at the facility. The abuse ranged from physical abuse to neglect to financial abuse. All of this comes just literally weeks after the governor signed a brand new bill designed to protect elder citizens from abuse like this. The author of House Bill 78 is State House Representative Wendell Willard of Sandy Springs. He's a Republican. He's chair of the Judiciary Civil Committee. Mr. Chairman, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Dennis. Glad to be with you.
If these charges are true, these abuses happened before the bill was signed. So I imagine we'd be going under the law as it existed before. So what kinds of protections did these folks have under the law as it existed before the new bill was signed?
Well, they had some similar provisions in the law, Dennis. We did not have as strong a sanctions for the conduct, the criminal conduct, as we do under the current law and larger fines. I think also we have made a stronger law as to those who operate facilities and who are, you might say, in collaboration with what conduct goes on in their facilities. So those are things that will improve. But yes, we did have laws that did address this. One of the problems has been in talking to prosecuting attorneys and law enforcement, they were not aware that these laws were on the books because of where they were located. So one of the things we did in passing this law was put it into what we call the criminal code, Title 16. So that is where these new laws are now located.
This brings up the question, the bigger question of keeping track of this sort of thing, oversight and enforcement. You just mentioned prosecutors might not have been able to find the law in the code. We also have a number of agencies, including Elder Protective Services or Adult Protective Services, that are supposed to be able to monitor this sort of thing. How could something like this happen, if all of these charges are true, without somebody knowing about it for so long?
Well, there may be people knowing about it, but I'm speaking now sometimes in your less populated areas, the law enforcement, the local police may not have been aware that there were laws addressing treatment of those who are elderly or disabled. And that was one of the shortcomings we felt current law did not address, is being sure that it was in a place everyone could find it and give some better and clearer statement of what the meaning of the law is.
What would you say, though, to somebody who could say, well, how could this happen?
Well, you know, unfortunately, really unfortunately, this goes on a regular basis. I mean, I've had people tell me of their own family situations where someone's in a nursing home or facility that they expect a certain standard of care and find out that care is not being provided. They're getting bed sores. They're like I say, the dirty diaper situation. That's an unfortunate thing that can cause not only other diseases, but certainly lead to death. So one reason this law was changed was to make a stronger statement of what the public policy of the state would be, and to address the fact that if you own these facilities, nursing homes, care facilities, you have a responsibility as the owner to be sure the persons who are residing there are given proper standard of care.
Do the agencies responsible for oversight, though, have the resources they need to do the job?
I think that the talking to the departments, there is not a lacking of resources as far as people who can go out and do the investigations. We have certain inspectors that do this. We have also the GBI has been very, very supportive of having stronger laws. They just felt there was not a good enforcement mechanism, more than a lack of inspectors and enforcement from the standpoint of various departments that have a responsibility to, whether it be family and children welfare, that's where most of this resides. But they've got people who are able to go out and do the inspections.
Now that this case has come to light and as it goes through the legal process, do you expect, even though we have a brand new law, that there will be further efforts either to increase penalties or increase resources for supervision and enforcement when the legislature gets together next year?
I don't see that we need to change the law. I think that what we've got now needs to operate for a time, and if there's something comes up that we are told of a shortcoming, certainly go back and tweak the law, make it better. But I think we've got what is, by everyone's comments and standards, they feel it's a very good law.
One of the other things the law does, I think, if I read it correctly, was it expands the list of people who are required to report suspected
yes.
abuse cases. Do you expect now that we'll see more reporting?
Well, that is to bring in to everyone who may have the proper exposure through their services or work, that there is an obligation if they see abuse occurring to the elderly or to the disabled, the obligation by law is reported, and there are sanctions that they don't report it. So I think what we may have with this case up in Commerce is what I call the thump on the head. It certainly will get a lot of people's attention to realize we are out there in force being sure these people have the proper protection under the law.
But if we see more reports because of this new law, will we need more resources to go out and investigate and supervise and enforce?
I think that's going to come with time to tell. If they're lacking resources, they tell us. We look at the way of answering their concerns.
State Representative Wendell Willard, a Sandy Springs Republican, is the author of the new law on elder abuse, House Bill 78. He is also the chair of the House Judiciary Civil Committee. Mr. Chairman, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate
sure.
it, and we'll check in with you again.
Good talking with you, Dennis. Thank you.
Now joining us is the Senate sponsor of the new law, State Senator Renee Unterman, a Buford Republican. She is chair of the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate. Senator Unterman, welcome. Good to have you.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Obviously, we're still learning about what happened in Commerce, but the bill that was just passed, it may or may not apply to some of the counts here, I would suspect, because the bill was just signed. It probably took effect 1st of July, so some of the alleged offenses in Commerce would have happened prior to this. Would that be your understanding as well?
Yes, it would. We already have existing laws, which I helped write on the books about elder abuse, and probably some of those counts would come up under that existing law. The new law that we wrote was about financial exploitation. The GBI had come to me and said that they had instances of where people were actually garnering up people and putting them into homes and taking away their Social Security, their pension, their food stamps, whatever financial assistance they got. But unfortunately, in return, instead of taking care of these people, they would just take the money from them and not give them anything but minimal substance and would not give them their medication. So that was what precipitated this bill.
Apparently, some of the counts in Commerce do involve financial exploitation. Did we have much protection against that under existing law prior to House Bill 78?
No, we did not, unfortunately. And we're really, the GBI did not see until the recession started coming along where people were actually doing this. But unfortunately now we have a GBI task force that's sole responsibility is looking after vulnerable people who may be susceptible to this type of, I think it's very devious, terrible behavior that people perpetrate on others.
As you and the House leaders are putting this bill together, were you hearing of cases where the allegations were similar to what we're hearing in the Commerce case?
Actually, the ones that we heard were financial exploitation, and they did not have the elder abuse. But I'm sure as this tax force, the GBI task force, gets more sophisticated, that they'll be able to prosecute more, because I'm sure it's out there. Because if someone will take finances away from someone, surely to goodness, they're going to harm them too in a physical matter. And that to me is what's just such a shame. I mean, if you don't take care of the young and the elderly, I mean, what does our society come to?
As I understand the new law, though, it does make some of these other offenses, like physical pain or injury
yes.
or sexual abuse, more
yes.
serious crimes. It makes
yes.
it more felonies,
yes.
correct?
Yes, it's a more heinous type of going against someone who's vulnerable. Yes, it is more heinous. And like I said, it's hard to comprehend that our society has come to that, but our laws have to match what people are actually doing. And so to me, yeah, you got to put these people in jail, and you got to put them in jail for a long time.
The GBI is involved here in the Commerce case, and in talking to the GBI director, Vernon Keenan, one of the things that I asked him was about the GBI's focus on something that you are also involved in working on, which was child sex trafficking. And one of the things he told me was because they have had to devote a lot of effort to child sex trafficking, they've had to take resources from other places. Are you concerned, even as the effort for child sex trafficking continues, that perhaps something like elder abuse might lose resources?
Yes, I'm very concerned. And you know, we've had a very difficult time during the recession just trying to keep our head above water. But the state budget's improving. And when that money comes back into our revenue stream, you know, GBI, natural resources, the DNR folks, people who are looking after other people, that's our main concern, and it will continue to be.
There are a lot of provisions in the new law, as you mentioned, for going after people who engage in particularly financial abuse of the elderly, but have we got a corresponding increase in the funding for enforcement? Are we going to be able to enforce all of these things that are called for in the new law?
I doubt it very seriously, because as we have the baby boomers aging, and we actually have a Alzheimer's task force that I also wrote the legislation, and we had our very first meeting last week, and these types of issues are a priority. And as society changes and as the need changes, you know, the budget should reflect that. And that's what that task force priority is to make sure that enforcement, it does no good for me to sit there and write a law and say, oh, that's a great law, but there's no way to have enforcement. And that's one of the things that this task force is looking at, and making sure that there is money in the budget and funding the GBI and with the assistance of the FBI and also local government, because a lot of these issues, they rise up from local government, from people knowing what's going on in the neighborhood and reporting it, and making sure that those lines of communication are open, and having that money in the budget to be able to get out there and do something about it.
But just to clarify, and not to say that there's no money currently for going after people suspected of abuse, but it doesn't sound like right now, if I hear you correctly, that there's the increased funding that would help fund the increased enforcement.
I'm not sure, and that's one of the things that the task force, the Alzheimer's task force, will be looking at, like I said, to make sure that there is funding resources there. And believe me, I'm the one that is most interested. Myself and Chairman Willard, you know, we're very interested in this issue and getting that message to the budget analyst and making sure that the money is there.
Last year, the Georgia Association of Chiefs of Police formed an ad hoc committee, and the police chief of LaGrange, Lou Dekmar, was the head of that. They recommended training for first responders, investigators, 911 dispatchers, frontline people who might be able to recognize elder abuse when they might be called in on something else. Is that something that you think could be funded at the local level, even if there might be problems with it at the state level?
Well, I think it's similar to what we've done with the child sexual exploitation. It's not just training those first responders. It's training anyone who comes in contact, and especially like with the elderly, if they make a visit to the emergency room and a physician examines them and they find out that maybe grandma didn't fall down the stairs, maybe something else more malicious happened to her, is training all professionals who come in contact. And that's what we've done with the child exploitation and child abuse laws. So I think, like I said, with the baby boomers expanding and you're having more people, of course you're going to have more incidents as the population of the elderly grows.
On the funding question, state revenues are increasing. Of course, there are going to be a lot of demands on the budget from departments that have been cut year after year over the last few years. So where do you think this will fit in terms of priorities once the state is ready to say, okay, we can restore some cuts?
Right. I think the Alzheimer's Task Force that is going to be meeting all over the state of Georgia is meeting for the next year, that it will have a certain weight, and whatever their recommendations are will be reflected in the budget. And I have confidence in the General Assembly members that they really care about this issue and that they're going to take care of the elderly.
State Senator Renee Unterman, a Republican from Buford, is the chair of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. Senator Unterman, thanks so much for giving us this time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.